I'm Deshaun Davis, former Auburn Tigers football player and all-SEC linebacker. You're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Welcome back into the program. Sports Call on Tiger 95.9 FM and the Tiger Communications app. JJ Jackson with Javon Cutler here on Radio Row. Day two of SEC Media Days. And speaking about the SEC ESPN's very own Tom Hart, kind enough to join us once again on the program. It's been 2 years since I've seen you, Tom. This is great.
I miss you, too. There wasn't a night that went think about our last interaction. And so now, face to face.
Yeah, we've spoke on the phone a couple of times on the show, but it's just this is awesome to be able to do something like this.
Listen, it is through my year, which obviously it's something none of us had ever experienced, but through my year, especially as we made the turn through basketball season, I was starting to check off little check marks, check boxes. Go back on the road for a game, have more fans in the arena or the stadium, whatever it might be. And the more of those boxes I check off, the better I just feel about life in general, right? I mean, we were all in a really bad place last year at about this time. So to know that we're going to have a football season, we're going to have people in the stands, we can kind of return to normalcy. And for me, that was, again, reverse order, College World Series in Omaha, the SEC baseball tournament here in Hoover. Before that, the SEC basketball tournament. Like all these little high water marks that I was able to experience continues me on that road to like where our normal is.
Sure. No doubt. Obviously, we're talking a lot about football this week, but before we get into any of that, your gig, getting to do basketball, baseball, everything. I mean, yeah. Such a cool job you have. Where do you stand right now with Bruce Pearl and Butch Thompson talking about the Auburn Tigers?
Well, so here's I'm going to peel the curtain back a little bit.
Okay.
What I do just for my sanity's sake is, generally speaking, when I go from one sport to another, like I am all in on that sport during that season. Now there's always overlap, right? We get to November, my last September was Korean baseball, college football, wild card round with the Padres and Cardinals. So I couldn't close the door on baseball until October.
Right.
So then it was all football, and then the carryover with basketball starts in November, and you start to cross over. Didn't Butch just make a new hire? Did he add somebody to his staff, or I'm making that part up?
Huddy and Gabe Gross are still coming back. He did add someone in a director of player development type role.
That's what it was.
Within the past few days.
And it was an established head coach.
Yes, it was.
From a previous stop. But once again, like, I've turned my college baseball brain off.
Right.
Once I leave Omaha, because now I'm shifting to football. But anyway, both of those guys do such an amazing job. You know, as far as Bruce is concerned, this may sound odd, but we talked a lot about Bruce Pearl during the college baseball season because there was a comp to be made between the excitement that Tony Vitello brought to the Tennessee baseball program that was eerily similar to what Bruce brought to the Tennessee basketball program. When he replaced Buzz Peterson, part of the reason Buzz Peterson got fired, AD Mike Hamilton was talking to him in what turned out to be an exit meeting, and the AD blurts out, Buzz was defending his case, and he goes, well, we don't sell enough popcorn. Buzz is like, I just got fired for not selling popcorn? But the point was that there weren't enough people in the building. There was an excitement around the building, and they needed to interject some excitement. In comes Bruce. This team comes walking down through the stands at Thompson Bowling. They beat Florida both years of their national championship run. His personality and his energy is so infectious that you just – can't help to be drawn to them. So I firmly believe in what both of those guys are doing with their respective programs.
Yeah, we can't wait to see what these next years look like for a basketball team that brings in the highest rated recruit they've ever had in baseball with Butch hopefully coming back. Matt Braga from Tennessee
Matt Braga.
Tech.
There you go,
And Rice. And Kendall Rogers had the scoop. He's right about everything.
I'm 100%.
Our friend George not only hasn't sent out a press release just yet making that official,
but Kendall beat him to the
Kendall's
punch.
Kendall's got
to
be right.
Braga's Tennessee Tech team 3 years ago hit like I don't know if this number is entirely accurate, but I think it was a gajillion. I think they hit a gajillion home runs.
I'm going to quote you on that.
Yeah, yeah. He's
that's good things for Plainsman Park, then. We look forward to that.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk some ball, then. Let's talk some football. So the Gus bus is no longer in town. It's not on the Plains anymore.
Huh.
But Brian Harsin comes from Boise and is now here on the Plains. Have you ever had any interactions in your career with Harsin? Were you ever in Boise at any point?
I've been to Boise.
Okay.
In fact, I don't mean to be that guy.
Be that guy.
To be that guy, I was corrected on the air, actually, by a terrible partner. What a jerk. But it's Boise.
Boise.
It's really hard for me because I say Boise.
Right.
But if it even hints of a Z, you did it wrong.
Okay.
Okay? And so it's Boise. Boise, whatever.
Then you start to confuse yourself, I feel like.
100%. Like, it's the simple, as a broadcaster, it's the simple words and names. Yeah. The simple ones give me the most trouble. I've been there for the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Okay.
The pregame meal was a potato bar, as you would imagine, and baked potatoes like the size of your Comrex unit. It was humongous. I covered Boise State football years ago in regular season game, whatever, when Chris Peterson was there and Justin Wilcox was one of their coordinators. But, no, I haven't met Brian, and I haven't, you know, I love my job in that I am SEC-centric.
Right.
Sometimes that gets in the way of, outside of bowl games, sure, being exposed to other teams and programs. But I love the move. I mean, I what he was able to accomplish there in the tradition of excellence that they've had there, going back to the Dan Hawkins days, is it's kind of like the SEC motto. Like, it means something there. Like, that is big to that state, to that city, to that market. And they've done a remarkable job for what used to be a junior college, like in the late 50s, early 60s, to build that into a legitimate football program.
And, Tom, of course, Harsin brought two SEC guys with lots of experience on his staff, and Mike Bobo and Derek Mason. So what were your thoughts about both of those hires as far as offense and defensive coordinator?
I like them both. I'm a huge Derek Mason fan. I mean, that guy did wonders at Stanford when he was a defensive coordinator there. They had some incredibly gifted defensive teams at Stanford. I felt like they did the same thing at Vanderbilt, but where things got away from him at times, where he brought in some coordinators where he allowed them to do what they were hired to do, which is what a head coach's responsibility. But I thought that Mace was a better coordinator, and the defense probably would have been better in his hands than some of the guys they brought in. Now Vanderbilt's a really hard job, but the reason I thought that was because of the way his players reacted to him, their belief in him, their love for him. He has a way to connect with his guys that I don't see very often from a head coach perspective. It's not uncommon to have that relationship with your position coach or maybe your coordinator, but really rare to profess your love for your head coach. And that's what he got out of those Vanderbilt guys. I wasn't shocked that they let him go. I was shocked by the timing of it. To me, to do that in the middle of a pandemic didn't make much sense. We'll see how that move turns out for Vanderbilt. And as far as Bobo's concerned, like, here's a guy who knows the league. He knows the history of the league, knows how to recruit everywhere within the conference. My question will be, what does this offense look like under Bobo, who has traditionally used a fullback? Aren't a whole lot of fullbacks around in high school football.
Right.
Even fewer around in college football. So does that give you an advantage, or does that limit how explosive you can be offensively? And I don't have the answer to that. He knows better than I do. And I'm sure Harsin will find the best balance of all that. So I'm curious to see kind of the identity of that offense as it goes forward to blend both of their backgrounds.
In your play-by-play role, obviously you get to work with so many amazing commentators, former athletes, coaches.
And some terrible ones.
And some bad ones,
yeah.
I'm sure. We won't mention those.
Have you ever listened to Jordan Rogers?
Well, I wanted to pivot to Jordan Rogers and Cole Cuban. When you're with the guys and trying to talk football, who is it easier for you to learn from?
Oh.
Or is Jordan, with his Vanderbilt education, is it just like, all right, you're talking way too smart football lingo for me to pick up and understand? That part of the game always fascinates me with, can you really dumb it down for folks?
Or? Yeah. No, that's a great question. So we are the only broadcast crew at ESPN, I know, and I think in college football, where we all three played college football. Now, I played a year of small college football. I did not play in the SEC. I don't throw that out there to put me on the same level with
sure.
those guys, except that I feel like my knowledge base is such that my curiosity can take us into great places. You know, tell me about this. Why is he doing that? How do you read this coverage? What is the cue that you're looking at from the cornerback? What can he tell you, man or zone? Are you looking at his hips, his shoulders, his eyes? So they both teach me a lot. It's really interesting with Cole, and I think this is where my background comes in handy a little bit, is he will get into a heavily detailed example or explanation about something that's happening in the trenches. And then I will come back, and I think this works. It's not like it's disruptive, but, you know, I'll have to remind viewers before the snap, hey, the A gap is a spot between the center and the guard. We talk so much ball, and by we, like the collective we, everybody in this room right now, our crew when we're watching film or just hanging, I mean, we're talking ball at lunch this afternoon, that we a lot of times take for granted what people know and don't know. So you throw around A-gap, double eagle blitz, blah, blah, blah. Like that can you can get in the weeds really quick, and diehard fans love it. Like the chalkboard guys love it and gals, but you're also ignoring a big portion of your audience. And so I think it's my job to identify, okay, where did we get a little eccentric? Let me dial this back and go more big picture. But I learn different things from both of them. And to learn, I think you got to ask great questions.
So yesterday we spoke with Jordan Rogers on the program. And Trevon Reed is one of our co-hosts on the show here. Had to exit town today, but was reminding Jordan of a game they played in 2012 between Auburn and Vanderbilt. Trevon on the defensive side of the football. Jordan playing quarterback. And Jordan remembered to a T how many passing yards he had in that game versus Auburn. Quarterbacks are just different.
The egos are out of control. Like me.
That was 9 years ago.
The best analysts and the best storytellers are the ones that have this attention to detail that is second to none. A lot of baseball guys are like this, right? Like, hey, did you ever play against Greg Maddux? Chris Burke is like this guy. I work a lot of college baseball. You ever get in a bat against Maddux? Oh, yeah. Yeah, let me tell you about this August game that we had in Houston. It was a day game on a Thursday getaway. We were leaving in New York right after the game. The Braves were going to Colorado, and Maddux is starting in a day game. And I was so worried about his changeup. And guess what was the first pitch he threw me? A changeup. And I hammer it foul 350 feet down the left field line. And now all I can think of is changeup, and I strike out on three straight fastballs.
And they remember that.
Every detail of it. Every detail of it. And there's no doubt in my mind that those guys have that week, like when that was current, they replayed those games in their mind. And then years later, they still replay those games in their mind. Like, Jordan's really great in that he's not tied up in the identity of being on television or being a football analyst. He's got a lot of things going on in his life, a lot of great things. But that ability to recall comes about because you're so invested in it while you're doing it.
Sure.
And so you can't help but remember. I mean, and especially if you're great. So I am a very poor golfer. But if I have a great round or hit a couple of great shots in a round, those shots come back to me just kind of random. I'm thinking about golf. Oh, man, my 7-iron at Kiowa that one time. That one time. That was amazing. What a pure shot that was. Like, it just, you know, you think about it because it's a positive thought.
I got to go back and ask a follow-up question because you dropped this in. I don't know that I realized this before, but your football playing career, what's that scouting report?
Well, it's very simple. I was a hybrid, okay? So I was both an undersized tight end and a slow wide receiver. So take your pick. Like, you want the tall, skinny tight end, or do you want the really slow wide receiver? That's it.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. So football coming back this fall, obviously the crew coming back together as well. What else is on the docket for Tom Hart here in 2021?
Just chilling right now. I mean, like enjoying time with family before we get back into the grind of college football, which I embrace. I love every minute of it. I love the process. I love prepping for games. I love digging in and finding a nugget that others haven't. I love bringing those out of my guys who do more film work than anybody else, and I'm confident in saying that. And it helps that we only cover the SEC,
right?
As we're not off covering the American 1 week and then the Pac-12 and then the Big Ten. So the accumulation of these relationships and stories and nuggets that we have allow us to tell stories in a timely manner. A lot of times, I think, from a broadcasting perspective, one of the greatest sins you can commit is, I have this nugget and I have to get it in. And it may be the world's best nugget, but then you jam it in at a time that is disruptive to the game flow or to your partners or whatever it might be. But if we're going to have Kentucky three times this season, or we're going to have them, you know, 11 times over a three-year span, we don't have to unload the notebook that first game.
Right.
Like, it's okay. We can hold on to our stories. We can let the game take us to wherever it's going to go, and those opportunities will resurface later. So I think that's important when it comes to presentation. So anyway, chilling, the answer to your question, just chilling until we get there.
And obviously what we're doing with Atlanta folks and being in Braves country here in Auburn, the Acuna injury, just tough to see. And I know all your years working with the Braves, but what a superstar he is. And just to see something like that in a year like this, I mean.
Yeah, if you were to tell me that Ronald Acuna Jr. was going to get injured in a game, I probably would have said, well, Don Mattingly's going to throw at him. He's not going to tear his ACL. Right? You don't see torn ACLs in baseball very often. Chipper did it a couple times, but that was a 20-year career. It's interesting the way they've reacted to it, the Braves front office. And I think they're going to be in okay shape, right? The Mets haven't run away with anything. They're dealing with their own injuries, including DeGrom, who, you know, that injury, when it's forearm tightness, usually tied into the elbow. I would hate that for him. By the way, he's on my fantasy team, so I don't want to lose him. But the Braves are getting healthier and getting guys back as the season goes on. I think Marcelo Ozuna is going to return. Darno's going to be back. They're going to get pitching back. They're going to get better without having to use the trade market, but they've already picked up guys like Stephen Vogt, who's impactful early on. So the beauty of the division is everybody's still right there. You don't have to win the division by 12 games. You only have to win it. And you're not competing with the Padres for the division or the Dodgers. That's still very winnable.
Kevin McAlpin joins us every week. I know you guys love poking fun back and forth. Can you tell us anything nice about McAlpin?
Let me tell you a great Kevin McAlpin story.
Okay.
Do we have time?
Yes, we absolutely do.
So we're in Pittsburgh circa 2014, 2015. The way the travel party worked with the team at the time, we were both on the charter. Because he's with the radio crew, they were more associated with the team, and we were separate. And the only reason that comes up is when we would get to these hotels, the television crew, we'd have to go check in ourselves. The team, the radio crew, they would have all of their hotel keys laid out on a table. You just walk in, find your name, grab your key, go to your room.
And they got it easy.
Yeah, listen, big league travel is simple and luxurious. And then they would either deliver your suitcase to your room once the luggage truck showed up, or you could hang out in the lobby and wait for it. Well, I'm down there waiting to check in to the Pittsburgh Westin or wherever we're staying, and the luggage truck shows up. And there's, you know, a pile of luggage, and who's on the top but Kevin McAlpin's? So I look at my producer, and I go, Kason, we got to come here. What? Cover me. I pull his suitcase back into like an alcove off the lobby. I open it up. I take every pair of underwear that's in his suitcase.
Oh, no.
I took every pair of socks that was in his suitcase. Zip it back up, return it. I shove it all into my backpack. We got to Pittsburgh. It must have been a Sunday afternoon. Like, we got there early enough to where we could go out and have a few pops or have dinner, whatever it was. We go out that night. It turns into kind of a late night. Eric Hinsky picked up the tab, which was very nice of him at whatever establishment we ended up at. The next day, McAlpin gets ready for the game, and he's got no underwear and no socks, except for what he had worn the day before. So he thinks he's losing his mind, and he calls his wife, and he's like, honey, do I have a stack of boxers sitting on the end of the bed next to a bunch of socks? She goes, no. And he goes, I know I packed it. I don't see where it is. So he shows up at the ballpark. He doesn't say anything to anybody because he's obviously embarrassed, and he's a little confused and probably still a little foggy when he got there at 3 o'clock. When he went down to do his pregame interviews, I stayed behind. I snuck in behind, and I put one pair of boxers and one pair of socks in his backpack. I come down, act like no big deal. later on, he opens up his backpack and he's like, what the hell? Why do I have underwear? And I did that every day of the trip. I'd put another pair and another of boxers, another pair of socks back in his backpack. He thought he was losing his mind. Like, he honestly thought that he'd gone off the deep end. And then I think it was the next, like, either the very end of that road trip or we went to the next city. I was like, hey, man, did you ever find your underwear? How do you know? Oh, yeah. I want to work with Kevin again someday in some capacity. I've returned most of the all of the underwear, most of the socks, but I still have one pair of his white socks that is in my sock drawer. And when I am working with him in professional capacity again, I will present those socks to him.
Can't wait.
As an acknowledgement of our history and of our friendship.
I love
that. So ask next time he's on, say, hey, what happened in Pittsburgh where you lost your underwear?
And we'll see what that creates. I love it.
Great idea, great idea.
Tom Hart, you're the best. Thank you for
the
time once again. Radio Row here, and we really do appreciate
it. Thanks for having me, yeah.